Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. This Aspire radio program is for March the 4th, 2018. We like to call it Satsang, heart-to-heart communion. We're going to talk a little bit about our old friend death. It's a big subject, and it ends most conversations, so we'll talk a little bit about it. And I want to thank my sponsors who make this radio program possible, along with my TV programs that are seen not only locally here in the Monterey area, but are also on YouTube and the website at aspire.org. And you can go to the website at aspire.org and take a look. We're doing a series now that I did many years ago on Cahil Gibran, the prophet. They are wonderful, wonderful discourses and programs on the various subjects that I chose to work on for TV. I think it goes over the heads of some people. I really do. I was always surprised that this series was not more popular than it was, but it drew a lot of interest. But I think people are put off on the idea of poetry. It really isn't poetry, it's prose, and they're very, very beautiful, and they leave a meaning, a substance in your life. If you read Cahil Gibran, he leaves a meaning, a beauty in our lives, and I really hope that you take the time to go take a look at the program. And I want to thank you for considering being a sponsor. You know, it is only through your sponsorship that we are able to continue this radio program and my offerings on the website at aspire.org. So I hope you will give that some consideration. Death, the termination of life, as it is called. I don't really think that that's an accurate definition of death, but it seems to be the one that most of us are attuned to. We think of death as, you know, lights out, everything's over with, yada yada da. And I do get a lot of emails on death. I really do. And the thing that is interesting, I work at hospice three times a week as a volunteer, as a person who, as a clergy, helping people, quote unquote, over to the other shore, the other side. It is an interesting phenomenon, mostly in the eyes of the people who are the family of those who leave their bodies. But, you know, it's an interesting process to understand within ourselves, as we evidently, if you really are into any kind of inner work, die daily. Every day, every time you peel that calendar off of the wall a little bit, every day or every month, there you are. It's coming closer. So we tend to ignore death and try to pretend like it doesn't exist and move on from there. But it does exist. It does have its way and its works. And, well, anyway, let's get into this. This one is an interesting one. It's from Gail. I don't know where Gail lives or who she is. Greg, I think you're the only one I know that would understand this question. Why do we die? Gail. You know, Gail, you have to see the bigger picture of it all. And if you can see the bigger picture of it all, if you will allow yourself to see that bigger picture, much can happen. The human being, the human carcass, the human body, after a while on this planet, ceases to function anymore. It is subject, as Buddha said, to old age, sickness, and of course, death. You have to see it for what it is. It's a vehicle. You and I are in that vehicle, that that form. And that form that we call the human body is subject to many different things. It is subject to disease. It is subject to accident. It is subject to finer energies like the collective unconscious. And as we go on in our life and we are born into, first of all, the body and go on into our living, as we do, we are bombarded constantly with invisible forces of the collective unconscious that are constantly grinding away at our minds, our unconscious mind. We have arguments going on inside of us between our DNA and our genetics, and they go back and forth and back and forth, these arguments. And as we have the argumentation going on, and then as we begin to mingle into the collective unconscious, the social aspect of everything, we start to name our body. We name that conversation between our DNA and our genetics and our emotional body and that emotion that is attached to the body that clings to the collective unconscious and is privy to the idea of the argument between DNA and genetics. We start the aging process. Now, there's a difference between maturing and aging. Most people are aged, I find, when they die. They are not mature. Maturing comes with understanding the process of living here on earth and how we were born, why we were born, the method of our livingness, our lifestyle, the whole shebang. We can see that bigger picture if we are very careful. And if you understand the laws that abide here on earth, if you understand the laws of living, whereby we live by this earthly realm, where everything is attached to survival, and that there are laws of survival here on earth, and how we participate in those consciously and unconsciously, then you begin to understand the life expectancy of the average human being. And you begin to understand the way of your life, the purposes of your living, and what is really going on in your life. We die out of the law. We succumb to the law of this earthly realm, which is about moving from birth to death. It is about the idea of being in the collective unconscious that is constantly bombarding us with fear and negativity. It is about our genetics. It is about how our genetics have awakened in our bodies to certain difficulties, circumstances, and conditions. It is about how we have lived either consciously or unconsciously. It is about many, many things. And they all come together to formulate what we call a lifetime or a life expectancy. And with all of that occurring, with all of that happening, we are living without regard for love, for the meaning of our life, and for life itself. Hence, the death is not so bad as compared to the death that is occurring within us, whereby we are not maturing and growing, spiritually speaking. And that is the real tragedy of our life, that we didn't grow, we didn't mature, we didn't get any better than what we were when we left our last life. We're just not very mature people. And because we're not mature, because we do not mature into understanding and consciousness, we suffer grievously. We do. And Buddha was right about the whole idea of death, that we repeat it over and over and over again to nauseam, We never learn. Human beings never learn. They never mature. They never come out of their deep sleep. They live and have their move and have their being in such painful stupidity. And who can awaken you? Who can say to you, there is that which lives within you that never dies? Do you believe that? There's that which lives within you that never dies. I don't think a lot of people buy into that. The essence of an authentic spiritual practice is to overcome the world and hence to overcome death. And there is only one way to overcome the world and overcome death, and that is to transcend it. Once you understand the makeup of this lifetime and how it works, once you understand the depth of this lifetime and how beautiful it is, once you start to mature past emotion and intellect and into that part of life that is absolutely without words, it is just the beingness of life itself, you come into that place where a profound sense of life, a profound sense of livingness that goes beyond the idea of our actions here on earth touch our living and change us, actually transform us. So there you are. Why do we die? Because we're immature. Everybody leaves their body, but how you leave it is a matter either of spiritual maturity or you just wear out. And you miss the whole show. And that's what most of us do. We miss the whole show. Thank you, Gail. Please forgive me. Namaste. It's a hard one for people to understand this whole idea of why we die, the whole kit and caboodle of it, as it were, as I like to call it. But it's important to be aware of. The next one comes from Todd in Las Vegas, Nevada. Greg, where do I go after I die? I'm starting to worry about it. I am 58 years old, Todd. Well, at 58 years old, don't you think the game's over? I mean, how much change can you endure? How much change are you capable of? That's the question, not worrying about where you're going to go after death. This could be your death. This could be the final, quote-unquote, place that you live until you what? Do what? Mature? Are you going to mature? Are you going to meditate? Are you going to work on yourself? At 50-some years old, if you're waiting till then to get going, it's going to be a long haul. It's going to be difficult. It's not impossible, but it's going to be very, very difficult because you're full of habits. You have your own way of doing things, wanting things, living through things. Who's going to change you? I have people who, you know, dart into my classes or my retreats. They just, you know, I think it's time. And how old are you? 60? Whoa, really? 58? 50? Really? And you think that you can teach this old dog new tricks? Huh? You really do? You think you can teach an old dog new tricks? Well, I can't teach my own Cocker Spaniel, a year and a half year old child of the infinite love, how to, you know, fetch a bone. She's her own little person. So how are you going to change? What are you willing to give up? What are you willing to let go of? What is going to give you transcendence? Do you think this is just going to be, oh, I'll change my philosophy? Yeah, I'll just change the way I think about my life in this world and that'll be it. No, that won't be it. That won't change anything. People think if they adopt a philosophy or a religion or whatever, that they're going to be able to live their life better and that they will gain the reap the benefits, shall we say, of that philosophy. And that's not true. Remember, this is a lifestyle. So where do we go? Well, you want me to say heaven or hell? Is that what you want me to say? I can't say that. This could be heaven and this can be hell. This whole earthly experience, I think you're already there. And if you haven't found the heaven and the hell here yet, which I'm sure you have, then you're not paying attention to the ball game here. We live in heaven or we live in hell, and it's here. It has nothing to do with somewhere else. Now, if you're trying to lure me into the idea of saying to you that there is reincarnation, I will gladly go through that door. Yes, there is transmigration, and there is transformation, and there is reincarnation. There are many, many processes, and where you will go, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know where I'm going to go. I know I'm here, as it were, kind of, sorta, but I don't worry myself with the future of what's going to happen to me. That would be futile. The thing that is most important to be aware of is where you are currently here on this earth. What are you doing with your life here? When you move to the next dimension through death, whatever that might be for you, that will be something that you earned or worked on, shall we say, here in this life. And you just kept it going. Your life has meaning and purpose here. Don't think you're twiddling your thumbs here on this earthly life and just like trying to get through to the next experience because you're bored or you think you're better than. It doesn't work like that at all. You have to see the bigger picture of it all. Everything here matters. Every nuance of everything you do matters. And it's either adding to the state of your consciousness and your ability to transcend, or you're repeating over and over and over again in this world, in this lifetime, your heaven and hell. And you're confused by the whole matter and you're not seeing it all for what it is. And that's what most people are doing. They're missing the whole thing because they're looking ahead for what they want their life to be in some other place like heaven or whatever. If you keep that going, if you keep that up, the experiences that are here will be diminished. You won't see the significance of what it means to, let's say, clean your house. Mundane little chores. You won't see the significance of being patient and kind to people and situations that look insignificant to your desires and the things that you believe in and the things you want. You won't see it. You will just simply live your life out thinking in terms of, I have this, I have that, I'm going to be happy. If I don't have this and I don't have that, I won't be happy. And as long as you and I live in this constant stupidity of wanting things to be the way we want them to be, we will miss. Everything matters, Todd, if you can understand that. Every little nuance of every little thing you do, from scratching your nose to driving your car to hugging a beloved to doing business to signing a check, whatever you're doing, it is the last moment of your life. It is the most important moment of your life, and it determines the rest of your life. It is good to make heaven here and not be waiting for it somewhere else. That's all I can really say to you. Because if you make heaven here, you will make heaven everywhere. You are that which you is, and you are that which you experience. See it for what it is and love it for the way it is. Let love live you. I hope that helps, Todd. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question. Greg, why do you believe in reincarnation when there's no proof of it in the Bible or anywhere else? Tim. Oh, Tim, I get this all the time, and I included your question because if I didn't, I wouldn't be answering the call of a great many people. Listen, I don't need proof, and I'm not stuck on reincarnation. You know, I'm really not. I don't think of it the way a lot of people do. To me, reincarnation is the ongoingness of life. It isn't the stoppage of life for a better life that was earned or not earned or whatever, a punishment reward thing. My mind does not work in that way. And for me, that looks like a very mundane way to live my life and to live my existence. So I don't go there, okay? You have to understand that. I don't need verification in some book that was written thousands of years ago. I don't need verification from science or religion or philosophy. I don't need any of that. I really don't need it. You either get it or you don't. It's like so many things in this lifetime. We either get them or we don't. We either are aware or we're not. And if we're not, then usually what we do is use our intellectual prowess to try to understand things, put things together in a logical order. Life is not logical. Life is illogical. Life does not work on the premise of Gregory Penn. It works on the premise of love. It is a throbbing, exciting, beautiful experience of love. And the way I look at it is nothing is in concrete. Nothing is absolute. You're here and then you're not. I take the attitude that whatever is to be, whatever is to come, is. And that's the way I look at it. If that includes the idea of reincarnation, then wonderful. If it doesn't, wonderful. It doesn't matter. No matter what you and I may think, Tim, really, no matter. We're in the hands of life right now, and we're subject to life. And that's just the way it is. Whether you and I like it or not, that's just the way it is. So no matter how I may struggle with interpretations or the way I want to be sanctified in some glorious ideal of life that I think means that there is reincarnation or not or whatever, it doesn't matter. This is all speculation and opinion on my part. It doesn't matter. Just give yourself to the is, to the all of this life, and let it have its way with you. Make every moment as beautiful as you possibly can. Don't be looking for more. Become less and understand more. Become less aggressive, less fearful, less angry, maybe even less desirable. That would be lovely. And all of a sudden, from out of nowhere, the is appears in us. And our acumen for understanding is greater. And you start to realize this is a joyous experience. It doesn't necessarily mean that I have to worry about my future. The only critter that I know of that worries about its future is us. Everything that exists here on Earth is instinctual. And you have to kind of understand that. If you do, then you will always live your life in a more conscious way. Just enjoy this experience as much as you possibly can. Give yourself over to life. Give yourself over to love. And let go of all of the rest. Just let it go. And you will find the answer to your own question. And you can call it reincarnation, regeneration. I don't care what you call it. Just call it love. I'm out of here. I'm a little late. Please forgive me. Hey, Tim. Love you all. Thank you for listening. We'll be back on the air next week. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.